Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues, the name of this program. I'm Tim with Walker. And Chris Woodward has joined us, replacing Fred Jackson. Good morning.
Good morning,
Chris.
Shout out to Andrew listening.
Shout out to Andrew.
Got a text message
out
from an Andrew.
Probably 90s.
Well, you know, I'm on the older end of the millennial spectrum. So.
You got something else? Did I use something else today for shout out?
No. Okay. Well, hello, Andrew.
Okay. All right. And Dr. Ray Pritchard. Ray joins us from Kansas City, Kansas. We are in our studios here in Tupelo, Mississippi. How's the weather today there in Kansas?
It is beautiful, bright, sunny, and it's above freezing, so
okay.
It's balmy. We're doing good.
By the way, did Punxsutawney Phil, I never did, what did he, whatever happened with him, he usually predicts the weather with great accuracy.
He saw his shadow, right?
I think so.
And that means it's going to be an early spring, right. Supposedly.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm glad.
I'm good with that. I'm really good with that.
Every time,
any day now.
Every time I think of Punxsutawney Phil, I think of that movie with Bill Murray.
Yeah.
Right.
Groundhog Day. I haven't seen that in years. But
in Alabama, it's Smith Lake Jake. That's their critter that predicts
the weather
over
there.
Oh, is
that right? They
got
their own Punxsutawney Phil?
I met Smith Lake Jake, air quotes, one time while working for a TV station in the
Are you serious? They have some critter that...
Yeah. It's like a little badger or beaver or something like that, but okay. Smith Lake Jake. Mm-hmm. And it was a girl at the time, which I thought was funny. I guess Jake was short for something.
I may have identified as a...
It could have. You know, who am I to judge?
Yeah. I'm with you there, brother. All right. Walker, you got an announcement?
Yeah, sure. Many of you have heard us talk about India Partners and what we're doing last week, and then this week, the campaign ends.
This is the last week of the campaign.
That's right. The campaign ends on Friday. But what we're doing is we're offering what we're calling days and nights of safety for children in the red light districts of Mumbai, India. The red light districts are known for prostitution and sex trafficking, and children are also tragically involved in that. But what India Partners does is they provide days and nights of safety, food, shelter, clothes, and education. And also, of course, they share the gospel each and every day there. So for $7.08, you can provide a day of safety for children in the red light districts of Mumbai, India. So that's $7, one day of safety, roughly $50 provides an entire week of shelter for these children. Here's how you can give. You can visit our website, afr.net. afr.net is a website. Or you can call this number and give a donation over the phone. 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396.
So we recommend them?
Absolutely. We partner with them once a year to provide these days of safety for children in the red light districts of India, of Mumbai, India. So, yeah, India Partners is a very, very trusted partner.
And Wesley, your brother, just recently went over there with our own John Riley to see firsthand.
That's right.
They were over there in India for 10 days going to these safe houses, so we know exactly what the money goes towards, and it is a very, very worthwhile project to help these women and children.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. What's your first story for us, Chris?
Well, I want to bring attention to something we in the newsroom are working on. There's an organization called the National Center on Sexual Exploitation, formerly known as Morality and Media, been around for years. And they do an annual publication every year on what they call the Dirty Dozen. And I have some sound here. This is from Dawn Hawkins, one of the executives with NCSE. She says that this year's list, it names and shames major facilitators and contributors to sexual exploitation in the U.S. And one thing that she really wanted people to understand and see here is that this year, Netflix is on the list.
Netflix has over 300 titles of original content that they've created. But most of the content that they put the most advertising in has depictions of nudity and sexual violence and graphic sex scenes. And often those those videos are placed right next to content for children. Netflix does have parental controls. However, even like 3-year-olds are able to navigate out of the lockdown position in Netflix because there's no lock to keep kids in the controlled area. Netflix, for example, has created some shows that glamorize and normalize child sex trafficking as just prostitution and as an edgy entertainment coming of age. They regularly depict sexual violence and show gratuitous amounts of nudity when doing so.
Now, I bring this up because, as we have talked about on this program and just the ministry itself on its various platforms, AFA has brought attention to a program on Netflix that has kind of, I guess, talked or led some teenagers to commit suicide. So there are things that people need to know about Netflix and organizations, including ours and the National Center on Sexual Exploitation, albeit for different reasons, mm-hmm. have brought attention to this company. And it, again, it made the so-called Dirty Dozen list. Also on this year's list was Amazon. They sell and deliver a number of things, including adult items. EBSCO made the list. Google, HBO, again, for programming. There was even a airline here, United Airlines. So be advised, if you are one of those that feels led to do business with certain companies based on your convictions, your religious beliefs, there are organizations out there, including the National Center on Sexual Exploitation, that have brought things like this to attention. Now, I will say I've looked at Netflix. I've used it before in the past, things like that. There are faith-based films and shows and things like that. But there are programs that you should be advised. And as Don pointed out there, you know, even kids get around the parental locks.
Yeah, you know, Netflix is a whole different animal than what we've dealt with in traditional media, because when my grandfather started American Family Association, originally National Federation for Decency, in the 70s and 80s, it was one, maybe two televisions in the home.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. And so the parents had a lot of control over
three channels
over what content reached our children. But now with smartphones and Netflix on these smartphones and other YouTube, etc., it's hard to control what your child watches, especially when they're in middle and high school when they have their own phones. So it's important to talk to your children and know what they're consuming.
Yeah. One of the other things that just hit my inbox, and I printed this out right before I came across the street here, and there's an organization that we've interviewed for a number of years, and I believe various officials with this group, FIRE, Foundation for Individual Rights and Education, they've been on programs on AFR Talk and perhaps even Urban. But FIRE has named the 2019's worst colleges for free speech. These are various colleges that have done all sorts of things. FIRE says this year's list includes campus officials who muzzled student journalists, expelled fraternity members for their private satirical roast of fellow members, silenced a debate union's planned religious discussion, even cited eminent domain to remove peaceful campus leaflets. Making this year's list, these are some of the organizations or universities, I should say, Alabama A&M, Plymouth State University, Syracuse University, University of Kansas, a campus that Ray might know very well.
Yes.
And I'm going to make some calls on these, too. I'm going to pass these around to the various universities because I'd like them to weigh in. Also mentioned on this year's list, Liberty University. Very, very interesting. But, you know, we've talked about before, there has been a crackdown on various speech. You should know where your kid's going to college. Do your research, things like this. And much like the National Center just did with the Dirty Dozen list, there are groups out there talking about free speech. But do you, Walker, you've certainly been experienced with this. Do you see free speech as being less of a freedom, or speech being less of a freedom on campuses?
Yeah, well, the thing is, you know, there's two different levels here. You have events and speakers that the university brings in. You know, that's one level. And then you have, you know, the classroom discussions. And in my experience, the classroom discussions are where the most intimidation occurs. Now, I don't think, you know, we're not having a First Amendment crisis here on campuses, but we are having a lack of diversity when it comes to ideas. And then those who dare to think outside the box and think conservatively and according to the Constitution, they're often put down and sometimes shouted down on college campuses. So, and then the other thing, as I mentioned, is the colleges, like at UC Berkeley, for example, and this is an extreme example, but They don't. Conservatives can't even go on campus anymore because they burn the street corner when conservatives come on campus. We saw this with Ben Shapiro and others, Ann Coulter. So that's a really dangerous precedent to set when conservatives dare to step on campus without riots happening.
Right.
Well, what you have on the campuses today, Walker, is what I might call selective freedom of speech.
Right.
If you are left, far left, extremely far left, the further you go left, the more freedom of speech you're going to have, right?
Right.
You can say anything you want. If you're sort of whatever the moderate view is, maybe you can say something. But if you get over on the conservative side of the spectrum, and you could be as well-spoken as Ben Shapiro, who's as fast on his feet as anybody I know. And if you're a conservative like Ben Shapiro, you really don't have freedom of speech. If you're a conservative Christian group on campus, you've got to be very careful of what you say. You've got to be very careful of who you elect as your leaders or what you do publicly, because otherwise the university is going to clamp down on you. So I just say on the left, yeah, further left you go, the more freedom you have. Further right you go, more conservative you are, the more they're going to censor you and the more careful you have to be. I'm sorry about that, but that's the American campus here in the 21st century.
But you're right, Ray, but that does need to be called out and pointed out.
Yes.
Because appeal to to the powers that be on campuses, to be fair, they're getting pressure from the far left all the time. And the far left today in this country, they're not like as we mentioned before, the traditional liberals of yesteryear, like Alan Dershowitz and others, who promoted free speech for all. You may disagree with them, but they didn't try to shut your speech down. Today's, quote, progressives, end quote, Abraham Hamilton III calls them regressives.
Right.
I don't know if he came up with that or if Brian did or who did, Brian Fisher. But the point is that they are on a righteous mission, a political jihad, if you will, to shut down the speech from conservatives and Christians because it doesn't deserve to be heard in their minds.
Right.
So therefore, they're justified by squelching our First Amendment rights to be heard. That's their point of view, which is different than, and that's dangerous when you get into, I have a right to shut you down because I don't think you have a message worth hearing. And I make that judgment myself. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Next story, Chris.
All right. Well, something to watch across the pond over in Europe. There are organizations, environmental organizations, probably even radical environmental organizations, that are looking to they've threatened they're going to sue Shell, Royal Dutch Shell, which is based in Europe in the Netherlands. They're going to sue them to force them to ditch oil and only do renewable energy efforts. The reason I bring this up is because there has been a push, an investigation, which even people like Hans von Spakovsky of the Heritage Foundation have equated to the Spanish Inquisition. There have been organizations and attorneys general in the U.S. that have tried to go after ExxonMobil, saying they knew about climate change, it's bad, it's worse, and we need to do something about it, and Exxon's hiding all the facts. Similar situation here in Europe. The reason I bring it up is because if a case is heard anywhere in the world, really, oftentimes an attorney anywhere else in the world can point to that, the opinions, the arguments made, things like that, as precedent for their case here. So there will undoubtedly be people in the U.S. paying attention to this, saying, hey, let's try to do the same thing over here with Chevron or maybe even ExxonMobil, things like that. All of this, of course, comes the same time that Representative Ocasio-Cortez and Senator Markey are pushing what they're calling the Green New Deal. And President Trump weighed in on this framework last night saying it's basically a high school term paper that got a low mark. Clip two.
They want to take away your car, reduce the value of your home, and put millions of Americans out of work, spend $100 trillion, which, by the way, there's no such thing as $100 trillion. They have to spend $100 trillion. And remember this. No other country except us is going to do it. That's a little problem, too. While the world's real polluters, like China, would get many of our companies and factories, they just move into China, move into other parts of the world. That's the way the system works. Not going to happen, folks. Don't worry. It's not going to happen. back of them. 100 trillion. Let's spend 100 trillion. Let's rip down everything.
That's just a portion of some of the president's comments. This, I think, guys, is where groups like PETA and these environmental groups tend to lose people. It's one thing to say you should treat animals fairly or take care of the environment. It's another thing to say we should change everything that led us to this moment and do something drastically different tomorrow in the name of saving, quote-unquote, Mother Earth.
Yeah, that green world vision or what?
Green New Deal.
Yeah, the
right.
Green New Deal.
Right.
Where'd I, anyway, the Green New Deal.
Pelosi called it the Green Dream.
That thing was a disaster to release that publicly like they did. They had a press conference. And
she wore green.
Cortez, yeah. And then had a couple presidential candidates there, didn't he? And they're embracing it.
You know, they're trying to act like even Ocasio-Cortez is trying to act like it was an act that it wasn't. It was an incomplete document that accidentally got out. No,
it wasn't.
This was a complete document.
That's right.
That they published and thought that everybody would fawn over.
Right.
And then her own party started talking about how dumb it was, and then she's like, oh, sorry, we're not ready yet.
I can tell you that in our reporting, we used the same exact document that NPR used, and I did that on purpose because I didn't want people to say, well, you guys found this from, you know, Billy Bob's blogosphere.net /opinion.
Right.
There are other organizations that have reported as much. And among the things she's talking about, changing how we live, how we operate our businesses, things like that. She even wants to work with farmers, and she's guaranteeing jobs in addition to family-sustaining wages, which is interesting for a pro-choice person, family-sustaining wages, and she wants to offer quality health care, too. So it's not just the environment. It's making everything hunky-dory.
You know, the U.S. is the cleanest country in the developed world.
That's what President Trump's talking about right there.
Yeah.
What President Trump's talking about, the thing that President Trump does have going for him most days is that he talks plainly and and simply so that people can understand the issues. Now, some of the intellectuals would say he talks too simply and he doesn't understand things. That's why he's a dumb guy. That's what they say. That's the criticism. I don't buy that. If you listen to him, he just talks pretty plainly and has reactions like the common person does. And Ray, when you're talking about the Paris Accords, for example, that he pulled us out of, which was meant to address, quote, climate change or global warming, that was putting restrictions on the USA that other parts of the world, other countries in the world didn't have to abide by.
Right.
Okay. And so it hurt our economy, and we had to follow all these regulations while other countries in the world did not. And that's what President Trump was saying. That's not fair. That's going to hurt our economy while other people who don't give a rip about pollution, like China, for example, maybe India, I don't know, but they don't follow the rules, yet they can benefit from our having to send companies over there because we can't keep up with the regulations. You get them anyway. Comment on that, Ray.
Let's just be clear: the U.S. is not the problem when it comes to global pollution.
Right,
right. We are not the problem. That you've already mentioned, the number one offender in the whole world is the country of China. I mean, I have been there. I've been to Beijing, been to Shanghai, been to Xi'an, been to these other cities that are covered with a cloud of pollution.
Can you see it when you go there?
Oh, can you see? You breathe it. You can't get it out of your nose. You can't get it out of your lungs. There have been days in Beijing when you can't see a block away because the pollution the cloud of pollution is so heavy. Look, if we want to do something about global pollution, let's start with the folks in China because they are the number one source of pollution in the world. It is not the U.S.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to Today's Issues on AFR. We've got a few minutes left. Next story, Chris.
Well, let's
go. Do you have
this,
a next story? We run out of stories.
No,
Chris?
I do have a
sing
no,
for us.
I'm just trying
play
to
the piano.
Pick something
can
really
you dance?
Good for you. This is from the I could have told you that myself, Chris file.
Okay.
But I'm gonna bring it up anyway because I want you to try to guess who number two is. There is a news report out of CBS Chicago that finds Chicago is the most corrupt American city. And it's based on data from the Justice Department as compiled by the University of Illinois at Chicago. What do you guys, who do you guys think is the number two city in terms of most corrupt cities?
Okay, wait, Chicago's number one, mm-hmm. so you're asking who's number
who's
two?
Who's number two?
Chicago won the gold for corruption?
Chicago won the gold, yes.
Yeah.
I'm sure they've long held that gold.
Who won the silver? For most corrupt.
Oh, my word. What are you going to?
Is it a big city? It's a major city,
it's
right?
It's a major city, yes.
I'm going to go with Detroit.
Okay.
Ooh, that's a good guess. I was going to say New York, but I don't know.
I'd go Miami.
Those are all good guesses. I will say this. The Manhattan area and Miami did make the list, but Los Angeles was number two. Los Angeles topped the list.
The city of angels.
And bad Super Bowl teams. But anyway,
right.
Shade.
But there.
But this is all based on the number of federal corruption convictions between 1976 and 2017. So it's apparently nothing new that L.A.'s been just corrupt.
So Chicago, number one.
Number one with a bullet. Nobody's going to catch them for a while.
They had 1,731 convictions during that 30-year span.
Yeah. Chicago just can't catch a break, Ray.
It has been a corrupt, machine-controlled city for, 70 years. And I got so many friends there. I spent 17 years pastoring in the Chicago area. I love the city.
I do, too.
But it is truly corrupt governance. And it doesn't seem to matter, does it? Who's in power or what administration comes in, nothing really seems to change.
Yeah.
That's the sadness of it. Because it's down beneath the great people there.
Oh, sure.
It's a great American city.
Yeah, my mom grew up north of Chicago. My wife is from northwest Indiana, which is thought of as the Chicago area. So we go there a lot.
So you're all telling me here, hearing y'all pronounce Chicago, you're telling me wrong that some people in my family who've been calling it Chicago, you telling me they've been wrong all these years? There's no R?
Well,
there's no R in Chicago. That's right. That's for sure.
Oddly enough, I do know somebody in this part of our great nation that is from Illinois and says Chicago. So the people you're referring to are not alone.
I've just heard.
That's right.
You know, all my life,
Chicago.
A lot of Southerners dropped that R in there.
I have no idea why.
Hey, Bill went to Chicago. Yeah. Did you hear about that?
Yeah. Well, we say Mississippi too. It's however you want to say it, I guess.
And then add insult to injury to the English language, they want to throw an S on there on the end of it. Mm-hmm. Pronounce Illinois.
Yeah, we go to JCPenney's Chicago, and Walmart's Illinois. And everything.
What'd you
else?
Say, Ray?
Chicago, Illinois.
Yeah, yes.
Chicago, Illinois. Bill went to Chicago, Illinois. Y'all hear about that? All right.
So one more lighthearted story.
President Trump's back in Washington today, right? Back
yes, sir.
Rally.
He is.
How many DeBato O'Rourke have at his gig down there?
I haven't seen a ballpark figure, but it's safe to say dozens.
Dozens, you think? Yeah, okay.
Compared to Trump.
Compared to Trump. All right. But what do you say? You got one more story? You got 30 seconds?
Yeah, two guys in Houston, Texas break into a home, an abandoned home, to smoke marijuana, which is illegal. Don't try that at home, kids. But inside the home, they found a tiger. And here's the thing. They called police, and police, I kid you not, I don't have the audio, but police said, "Sir, are you under the influence right now?" They said no. So they went, and sure enough, there is a tiger there. It was malnourished.
They weren't hallucinating?
They were not hallucinating.
There was a real tiger, and it just happened to be in the house they broke into to smoke some dope?
What are the odds?
Wow.
I hate it when that happens.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ray, duly noted.
Yes.
The moral of that story is, there's a lot of morals to that story.
There's a lot of morals there.
We don't have time to go into that. You sure that wasn't LSD? That was just marijuana.
According
to
CNN, which may or may not be true, it was marijuana.
Okay. All right. All right, folks. Have a good day. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Keep listening to AFR.